year and a half since I have fasted is not a good thing, because that's the last time we did it corporately as a church, and we're supposed to do it on our own, you know, and see the benefits of it, which I'm reminded of much more so this time than a year and a half ago when we did this as a church. And I hope that you will see those benefits, do it on your own as well. Another verse that you already know is Jeremiah 33:3. I call it God's phone number. It's easy to remember. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Call unto me. Cry out to God. I remind you, church, in the Old Testament, Moses cried out to God, and God spared Israel from judgment time after time. Joshua's prayer to God made the sun stand still. Hannah's prayer was answered with a baby boy. Solomon received wisdom in answer to his prayer. Jonah's prayer brought him out of the belly of the great fish. Fire came down from heaven when Elijah prayed and devoured the sacrifice on Mount Carmel. And Elijah had this great power of God on his life, but then when Elisha, his protege, prayed for a double portion of that spirit, God did not bat an eye. He gave it to him, a double portion. We covered 2 weeks ago tonight the fact that Jabez prayed for God to bless him and enlarge his coasts, and for God's hand to be with him and to keep him from evil, and God granted his request. That's the exact wording from 2 Chronicles. You can come to your New Testament and you see 10 lepers who prayed and were instantaneously healed. Peter prayed and one named Dorcas arose from the dead. The thief on the cross prayed and was saved immediately. The early church prayed and the place was shaken where they were gathered together. Peter got out of jail in answer to the early Christians' prayers, and the door of that Philippian jail fell off when Paul and Silas prayed. So why don't we pray? Why don't we really pray? It's our greatest weapon that God has given us in our faith. Why don't we really pray? It's fascinating to read the accounts of the prayers of the saints of God in the Bible. But listen, church, are you listening tonight? Are you able to focus just for a couple more minutes? We read about these wonderful prayers in the Old and New Testament. Question, do we serve the same God? Does He still hear and answer prayers? Church history books stir your soul too as you read how God answered prayers of guys like George Mueller of Bristol and David Brainerd of New England, J. Hudson Taylor, Charles Finney. They believed the Bible. They got the power of God through answered prayer. They called upon God. He answered them and showed them great and mighty things. It was Abraham Lincoln who said this, "Many times I've been forced to my knees, realizing there was simply no other place to go." You ever been there? I said in an email to you on Friday before the fast began that we don't do this lightly, and we don't do it for no reason. We better have good reason if we're going to do something like fast. Jesus said it's for good reason that you should fast, and I believe we have good reason to do that. George Washington met the crisis in Valley Forge on his knees in prayer. And it was Benjamin Franklin in a speech to the Constitutional Convention that he reminded the delegates of the daily prayer to God for guidance and protection there. Stonewall Jackson said, quote, "I have so fixed the habit in my mind that I never raise a glass of water to my lips without lifting my heart to God in thanks and prayer for the water of life." As we meandered through the church building and outside the building today with our roaming prayer, it really struck my heart today that as different rooms in the building remind us of different prayer requests and different needs, we shouldn't just do this when we're fasting. We come to this building several times every week, and we ought to just mention a prayer, just whisper a prayer for what goes on in those rooms. Have roaming prayer all the time. Isn't that what it's really about? Pray without ceasing. Isn't that what it's really about? A good prayer life goes a lot deeper than a mandated church-wide fast, you know? And that's why I know people who have some real prayer lives don't even have to participate in this to have a prayer life with God. Well, the Bible is filled with promises to modern-day Christians today. God still promises to hear and answer prayer. And we read in John 14, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." The next chapter says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done." 1 John 3:22, "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." A couple chapters later, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." Matthew 7:7, "Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you." Matthew 21:22, "All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." James 5:16, "The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much." And in James 4:2, we're told, "Ye have not." Why? "Because ye ask not." I want to briefly run through seven people who ought to pray. Here they are. And by the way, the seventh one is the one who prays for the meal. So listen carefully. Number one, people in trouble ought to pray. People who are in trouble ought to pray. The psalmist said, Psalm 34:6, "This poor man," talking of himself, "this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." I've quoted that many times when I've got trouble. "Lord, I've got trouble. Help, Lord." People in trouble ought to pray. Number two, people who need wisdom ought to pray. James 1:5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It shall be given him." People who need wisdom ought to pray. Have you ever needed wisdom in a decision? We ought to pray for that. Number three, people who need power ought to pray. You need power in your life? Jesus said, Luke 11, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion?" No, these are rhetorical questions. Obviously, a father wants to give his child what they want. He says, "Then, if ye, being evil or sinful, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" People who need power ought to pray for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Number four, people who want revival ought to pray. Do you want revival, church? You ready to see some great things in April and beyond in 2011? Do you rejoice like I do to hear of someone getting saved today and can't wait to find out if someone gets saved on Tuesday night and Wednesday night in church? And you hope that you have the opportunity to share the gospel with someone this week. You want to see people get saved. You got a hunger and a thirst for it. I tell you what, if we were to go into this room tonight and the sandwiches be sitting over here and some lost people over here who wanted to be saved, I hope we'd all be going over to try to help those people. You know what I'm saying? What's more important here? And then, you know what? Then there is time to celebrate, isn't there? There is all eternity to celebrate the victories that God wins here on the earth. But there's only a short while to win those victories. We've got all eternity to celebrate the victories, but right now is the time to win those victories. Now is the time. 2011, I believe, is the year to not take anything for granted and to get out and beat the bushes. People who want revival ought to pray. Number five, people who want cleansing ought to pray. Cleansing. David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's Psalm 139. People who need cleansing ought to pray. Number six. And by the way, if you're fasting, try this in our invitation tonight. Say, "Lord, show me any sin in my life." You've prayed that before. Sometimes he's put his finger on it. Pray it while you're fasting. We're in tune with our spirit. We're out of sync with our flesh. We're listening to God. Let him speak to your heart. It's amazing. cleansing. Number six, people who want to know God's way ought to pray. We're talking about God's will in some matter. Moses prayed, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight." That's Exodus 33. Number seven is actually a real prayer. People who want to be saved ought to pray. Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." Matthew 14. The Apostle Paul admonished us to pray without ceasing. Jesus said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." And it's a joy to see someone pray the sinner's prayer, is it not? Someone has said, "God waits to do the will of praying people." God waits to do the will of praying people. Remember that prayer is our greatest privilege as a Christian, and it's our least used weapon, it seems. I can study and study for a message and prepare and practice, and then the Lord reminds me, "Why don't you pray about this? You're going to find out on Sunday when you stand up and preach this, surely, what you can do. Why don't you pray and see what I can do?" It's our greatest privilege. It's His greatest tool. It is the greatest weapon. And listen, it's a great opportunity. Prayer is the key to God's storehouse, the switch to God's power station, the greatest work in which we can be involved. I believe that. And we need to live like it. May all of us say with Samuel, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray." Here in a moment, we're going to have some group prayer. And as we do this, I want to form some groups just where you're comfortable. You don't have to lead in prayer, but you can listen. You can participate. You can pray where you feel led to. And we need to spread out just a little bit to do this. And once we start praying, here's what we're going to pray about. Where'd it go? At the door this morning on your way out, many of you, most of you, gave Miss Kimberly a list of who you will be inviting to Friends and Family Sunday next Sunday, or Pack a Pew Sunday the week after that, or lost people that you want to pray for by name. Let's use the last few minutes of this fast to really pray name by name for these people in some smaller groups. And after you pray for that, pray yourself to God for yourself about your sin, as I just challenged you to. Ask God to show you, search you, as David said. Search me, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Pray a prayer like this. And when everyone's done, we'll have a group closing prayer that will bless the meal. Those of you who are prayer leaders, would you hold up this paper? Miss Kimberly was good enough to go home and type them all out. Okay. Brother Billy, would you mind coming over to this section? And some people follow Brother Billy. Brother Bob will have a section over here. Who else has one of our prayer papers? Miss Terry has one down front. A group can gather around her down front. So we have one on this side, one on this side. Would some come join me at the altar? And I've got a list down here for us to gather around. And I need somebody in the back to gather around. Let's see. Brother Don will have a group for this back section. Brother Rich, would you mind having a group for this back section? So we got two for each of these sections, and Brother Billy's all alone over there. So let's try to even it out where each group has about an even number. So some people from over here may need to come over here and spread out. Some come join me at this altar. That way we can all get our eyes on some of these names. And we're just going to gather around and make an altar out of some of these pews or this altar. And let's pray about these things. It's okay to pray aloud. Please do. Let's fill this place with the sound of prayers. If you've got someone who's new or doesn't know what we're doing around you, you can invite them to come over too. And let's give some serious prayer to these things. If you're too weak to stand, just stay right where you're at. Otherwise, we got room down here, a little room over here.